Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
The book of Ephesians, which stresses the church, places tremendous importance on the matter of oneness. The oneness of the Spirit and the oneness of the faith are both highlighted in this book. But notably, it does not speak about the oneness of teaching or of doctrine. In fact, both teaching and doctrine are the subject of Paul's warning in chapter 4, verse 13. Until we all arrive at the oneness of the faith and of the full knowledge of the Son of God, that we may be no longer little children tossed by waves and carried about by every wind of teaching, in the sleight of men, in craftiness, with a view to a system of error. Obviously, the oneness of the faith is something other than that of doctrine or teaching. Bob Danker has joined us as we fellowship this important, I would say critically important matter. Bob, welcome back to the broadcast.
It's good to be with you again, Chris. This matter of the oneness of the faith, as the term implies, it is the faith that makes us one. Doctrines, teachings, and practices cannot make us one. In fact, often they divide the believers.
Bob, in Jude 3, of course, it tells us to contend for the faith. Beloved, while using all diligence to write to you concerning our common salvation, I find it necessary to write to you and exhort you to earnestly contend for the faith once for all delivered to the saints. And we hear this phrase often repeated and used as justification for the divisions among the believers. But the faith spoken here, this common faith once delivered, Bob, to all the saints, is something that we must not only stand up for, but even be willing to pay the ultimate price for, even if our life, if necessary. But what is contended for, it seems most often, or at least frequently in the body of Christ today, really doesn't properly belong in this category of what is spoken of here, does it?
Yes, Chris. What Jude was speaking about here is the fundamental faith that is commonly held by all believers. This faith is mainly in the person of Christ, in his work, his redemptive work, his being God and man, his death on the cross, his resurrection. All these things are the essentials for salvation. These are the things that make us believers, regenerated persons, members of the body of Christ, and they make us all one because they're commonly held by all believers. Mm-hmm. But once we go beyond the realm of the common faith and we begin to contend for certain matters that are not part of the common faith, then the result has thousands of times, often been, still is, division among the believers, division in the body of Christ.
And so often, as we mentioned a moment ago, those divisions are justified by verses like Jude 3. But really, that's not the application. And in fact, if we get into Paul's heart, not just his teaching, but into his heart, this matter of the oneness was something far more than a teaching to Paul. This was a driving component in his prayer, in his ministry, and in the vision he was laboring so diligently to impart, wasn't it?
It was, Chris. This matter of oneness is absolutely essential for us to realize and experience the reality of the body of Christ. Hmm. Division damages the body. It even destroys the body, and it takes us out of the reality of the body. It absolutely destroys any chance that we have to fulfill God's heart desire to have one body to express Christ.
Bob, in addition then to the common faith, the things that you spoke of a moment ago, these essentials, these few pillars in the faith that are essential and we should never compromise, there are a few things where Paul, in a number of places in his ministry, really exhorts us to watch and be mindful of. So we're not to be general with everything, but with most things. I think by the time we're through today, we'll have a good balance and a lot of help on how to practice this oneness that is spoken of here. Why don't we join Witness Lee with this first segment?
The New Testament is so strong and so strict, so consistent with the matter of our faith. Even the New Testament uses such a strong word that we have to fight. We have to fight for our faith. Then, as to the doctrines, the New Testament is rather liberal. You know, as to the matter of the eating, of the sacrifices offered to the idols, you read the book of Romans and 1 Corinthians, you would be puzzled. In some of the verses, Paul said, it is okay, you eat the sacrifices offered to the idols. But in some of the verses, Paul was so strong, saying, you shouldn't do it. I spent hours reading those few chapters. It bothered me very much. It was not so easy. It took me years, until one day I got delivered out of this doctrinal mind. Oh, what Paul wrote there was so clear. It was so clear. Just liberal. Under certain circumstances, absolute right for you to eat. But at other times, absolute wrong if you eat. Yeah, you may eat, you may not eat. It is not absolute. It is relative to the situation. But in the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 7 through verse 11, in this portion of the word, two things are covered. One is related to God. The other is related to humanity. Idolatry, that means the worship of idols. This is related to God. And all the other points, fornication, to be covetous, and so forth, these are related to humanity. You see, as to doctrine, Paul was liberal. But as to idols, as to the fornication, things like this, Paul was definite. Keep no company. No, do not eat with these kind of persons. Whosoever is related to the idols, whosoever is related to fornications, immoral things, we Christian brothers shouldn't keep company with. So, you put all these verses together, you can see in the New Testament, there are four things which the Bible never allows us to tolerate. Number one, idols. Number two, fornication. Number three, division. And number four, the denial of the deity, of the divine person of Christ. We all have to be clear. We have to be so strong, so bold, so definite to our faith. But we have to be very, very liberal in all kinds of doctrines. It is very clear.
Bob, I was recently having some fellowship with a group of believers on this very matter. What is to be specific in the faith and what is to be general? The other way to describe it, it's commonly heard today. What are the essentials? What are the non-essentials? And then we have these four very definite items that Paul underlines, highlights, that we are to be watchful of and not to be in company with. Let's talk about this whole arena because it's so important and not that well understood, I would say.
Well, Chris, there are certain things that are absolutely essential to the Christian faith. For instance, all Christians believe that the Bible is the Word of God, inspired word by word by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All Christians believe that God is triune, that He's the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and at the same time, he is just one God. All Christians believe that Jesus Christ is this very God. He is God, the complete God, and also a man. He is God and man. All Christians believe that Christ died on the cross and shed his blood to redeem us from our sins, and that on the third day he was resurrected from the dead. And all Christians believe that if we believe in this one, we are saved. We are delivered from God's righteous judgment. And not only so, we are regenerated, reborn to be God's children. And all Christians believe that there really is only one church in the whole universe. All the believers are parts of this church and so forth. These are the things that are essential to the Christian faith. And then these four things that Witness Lee mentioned here, of course, the Bible says that we cannot tolerate those who practice idolatry, fornication, who make divisions in the body, and who deny the deity of Christ. These four things are something that we cannot accept. If anyone is involved in these things habitually, then we should stay away from such a person. Is very clear in the New Testament, but on everything else you mentioned is the non-essentials, such as if the sisters cover their head, what color should the head covering be, white or black?
Right.
If we are baptized, should we be baptized backwards, sideways, or forward? And other things that are not essential to the Christian faith, who are not essential to our salvation. These things, we have to be liberal on these things. Otherwise, the result will be division in the church as the body of Christ. This thing, division, is really harmful, damaging, and unacceptable to us as believers.
These non-essentials, Bob, they run the gamut, it seems. We have everything from the type of instruments used in the church to, of course, you know, the whole issue of tongues and the gifts, so-called gifts of the Spirit fall into this category. So many things. We're really under the command here nearly of the word to accept with liberality. And by using this word liberal, we don't mean a liberal interpretation of the gospel. That's not the kind of liberal here we're talking about. It's being liberal with one another on these non-essential matters once we accept the basics that you identified as being indisputable.
That's right, Chris. We have to receive one another and not judge or condemn one another for our particular or specific doctrinal positions.
Bob, let's look at that verse as we'll use that to help set up this next section. In Romans chapter 12, there's a lot of talk about the body life, the body of Christ, really demonstrated quite marvelously in that chapter. But we're going to see in this next portion that to have that experience, we really need to be connected to chapter 14 of Romans. And I'll read a verse from each chapter. In chapter 12, verse 5, it says, "So we who are many are one body in Christ." Glorious, right? "And individually members one of another." But in chapter 14, it says, "Now him who is weak in faith receive, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his considerations." So we need to receive all those whom God receives, regardless of their beliefs and practices on all these non-essential matters. That's really, I think, the focus of our fellowship today, isn't it?
That's right, Chris.
Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You have a lot of doctrines in the New Testament, but the New Testament never says that if anyone doesn't keep this doctrine, you just have to deny him. Yes, John chapter 13 does tell us that we have to wash the feet one another, but it doesn't say if someone of you would not wash your feet, you just kick him off. Yes, the Bible does tell us that we have to have the baptism. We have to be baptized. But it doesn't say if anyone that would not be baptized, you just avoid it. In other words, the New Testament never tells us that we have to be separated from the ones who would not keep the same doctrines as we do. So many Christian teachers today do see Romans 12 stressing the body, but they didn't see Romans 14. You have to realize, without Romans 14, you could never realize the body in Romans 12. You have to be so liberal in the matter of doctrines that you could have the body life. Today, among so many Christians, I would say strictly, there's no body life. What you can see among so many good Christians is just divisions. If you don't misunderstand me, you can see the better the Christians are, the more divisions there would be. If all the Christians will be so worldly, you know, indifferent, I believe there will be no division. Do you understand me? But once some Christians got revived and got so devoted to the Bible and got to know the Bible so much, you'll be ready, they will have a division. Why? Because once you were raised up to seek after the Lord, you will be distracted by doctrine. You got to know some doctrine. You'll be distracted, and you will pay your attention to certain doctrine, and that will create what? Just a division. You need Romans 14 to keep the body in Romans 12.
Bob, there's so much wisdom in the words we just heard. I'd like to listen to them again and again and again until it just permeates my conscience, I think, is the right place for it. How about you?
I absolutely agree with you, Chris. This word about Romans 14 on receiving the believers being needed for us to experience the practicality, the reality of the body life, is a marvelous word. The reason why we don't see the body life so much in reality among the believers is because of the lack of practice of Romans 14.
Yeah.
It's not that we don't appreciate Romans 12. We do appreciate it. We see the body there, one body with many members and all having different functions, a marvelous picture. But the failure comes when we don't practice Romans 14. And the problem here is not usually with the indifferent believers, those who are casual about their faith.
Yeah.
The problem usually is with those who are zealous for their faith in the Lord and for their for the things of Christ. These are the ones, we all want to be such persons, of course, but the unfortunate thing is that we become distracted by doctrines. We pay our attention to doctrines. These doctrines attract us for some reason, and the more we pay our attention to them, the more the result comes out not positive, not to bring us into the reality of the body, but to create divisions upon divisions.
Bob, I like the way Paul phrases it here in this verse in Romans 14 that we read. Now, him who is weak in the faith receive, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his considerations. That means that we just have to accept the fact that others may not have the light we have in certain areas, while at the same time respecting the fact we may not have the light that others have in other areas. And so if this was just practiced among the believers, what a difference it would make.
Yes, Chris, it would make a tremendous difference. And I just believe that we need to see what our brother is pointing out to us here, the crucial nature of Romans 14 and the practice of receiving the believers. We need to receive every believer whom God has received, not to pass judgment on others' doctrinal beliefs or practices, but with a very tolerant attitude, accepting one another as fellow members in the body of Christ.
Bob, let's go back and hear Witness Lee's conclusion to this marvelous message today.
We are not here just no ordinances, no doctrines. No. What we have is Christ as the head, with the church as the body. God's intention is not to get a religious people so godly, you know what I mean? So moral, so nice. This is not God's intention. God's intention is to have a people regenerated, transformed, sanctified and purified and nourished and cherished and built up as a new man. This is God's intention. God's intention is to have a church as the new man, with Christ as the person, a church as a group of living persons, you know, sanctified, purified, and nourished, and cherished, transformed, and built up together as one new man. Yes, initially speaking, we don't care for doctrines. We don't care for ordinances. But eventually, I tell you, we will be the one new man. Filled with Christ, saturated with Christ, in every part of our being, there's nothing but Christ filling up. This is God's intention.
Well, a very short segment, but very to the point, I would say, Bob. He says God is not looking for a religious people or a godly people, but he is looking for something else. I think we better talk about this in this last couple minutes we have.
That's right. I would say, Chris, this is maybe the most important segment of the whole broadcast. It's one thing to try to not to pay attention to doctrines, not to let doctrines divide us. But what does God really want? What is really in God's heart? I would say this may be the thing that we have missed most of all. If we would see what God wants, then spontaneously we would forget about doctrines. We would pay our attention to being filled with Christ and being built up together to be one new man with Christ as the unique person. We would pay our attention to the things that the New Testament pays its attention to,
yeah,
to our being regenerated, sanctified, transformed, and build it together to be one entity, the new man, the body of Christ. This is what we should focus on. We should not even focus on forgetting doctrines.
That's right.
Not paying attention to doctrines.
Yeah.
We should focus on God's focus.
Yeah, even that could become our doctrine, couldn't it?
That's right. Yeah.
I think that's what it means to be carried away by every wind of teaching, even the teaching against teachings.
I agree, Chris. We should not pay any attention to anything but God's economy, which is to dispense God into us so that we will be filled with Christ and built up together to be one body. This is the focus of the entire New Testament, and this is what's in God's heart.
Bob, we have only two programs remaining in this life study of Ephesians. We'll be wrapping up. And I'd just like to thank you for many wonderful times we've had together in the book of Ephesians. I have really enjoyed it and appreciated your participation. Well, that's it for today. We will convene again tomorrow as we get to our wrap-up programs and the life study of Ephesians. And that is all the time we have for today. And for Bob Danker, I'm Chris Wilde. Thank you very much for listening.